Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
I want to say good morning, everyone, and we welcome you. We're delighted that you have joined us for this weekend. We are in our third installment of a series that is called Sand and Stars. Everybody say with me, sand and stars. Say it again, sand and stars. Now, this message is going to be around for a long time, for at least a while and a season here in the life of our church. And so I'd like you to help me, if you would today, to just stir up and encourage the dreams that are in us as well as the dreams that are in other people that are around us. And so I thought of a way that we could do this, and most of us use social media, and I'm wondering if you could help us, if you could join me today by using the hashtag sand and stars. Okay, just hashtag sand and stars. So that, you know, kind of like this, you can make a comment and then you could follow it with hashtag sand and stars. A comment like, my pastor is the best. You know, hashtag sand and stars. It could be simple, you know, like, I'm dreaming big again. Hashtag sand and stars. You could tell people that follow you, dream big today. Hashtag sand and stars. Or you could grab hold of one of the quotes that we have, and I'll give you one really quick. You could see it on the screen today. Your future doesn't happen to you. It happens through you. Hashtag sand and stars. So I want to kind of cut that loose today and just invite everybody to join in with me if you would. And let's get this thing to another level because we're going to be talking about this topic for weeks to come in the life of our church. I didn't start it like that or with that intention, but that's where it's going. It's going to be around for a while. So say it again, sand and stars.
Sand and stars.
Okay, pray with me if you would today. Everybody out loud, say with me, my heart's open. My mind's ready. Make me better, God, by your word. I receive it, and I believe it, and I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, shout a great big amen. Okay, Sand and Stars is based on the story of a man named Abram, who was living with a God-inspired dream in his heart. And his dream was that he would have a family that would become a great tribe of people, and that they would be so large in number that they would be like the sand on the beach and the stars in the sky. Now, Abram's not the only one who has God-assigned dreams. Each one of us is created by God to see things that we don't see. When you stop seeing what you don't see, you start dying on the inside. If all you see is what you see, then you'll have no ambition. You'll have no vision. There'll be nothing to aim at, and there's nothing to look forward to. The more limited, in fact, that you become in your imagination, the more mundane and mediocre your life is going to be. Let me ask you this. Have you noticed how children come alive when their imagination is engaged? Have you noticed that? My oldest grandson, Kyan, has watched Seahawks football, and he's kind of got it in his head. And so he loves it when I become the announcer slash Russell Wilson. I play two parts. I can do those two things at the same time. And he loves it when I am the announcer slash Russell Wilson while he becomes Doug Baldwin, the receiver. He loves especially what Kyan really wants me to do, and he doesn't understand why I can't do it every single time I throw the ball. But what he really loves is when I get it just high enough that he has to jump high and extend his hand up really high in the air, but he can touch it and tip it, and then it comes down and he catches it, and then he falls into his imaginative end zone. And he jumps up, and in his imagination, the crowd is going wild. And he dances around, and I'm dancing too. Well, here's what I've noticed. When you're young, you live to dream. But as you grow older, you dream to live. Now, I want you to think about this, and I'm talking about, when I say older, I'm talking about even 14, 16, because by then you're familiar with disappointment. You're familiar with all of the challenges that go along with having a dream and not seeing it happen. Or you're starting to, you know, engage negativity in a way in your life that you're like, well, I can't do that, and you know, I'd like to be that, but I can't be that, and I can't go to that college, or I can't get that scholarship. So even at a very young age, a teenager starts that encounter of where they're no longer living to dream, but if they dream, they're dreaming to live. They got to have a dream to live. See, you were created by God to see things that you don't see. That's why the scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. Say that with me. We walk by faith. Walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, because when he gives you a dream, when God puts a promise in your heart, that doesn't mean that it's going to come to pass without some opposition, some delays, and some adversities. Hey, I get any amens? Like, you're going to have challenges. And just because God puts a dream in your heart, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen exactly like you think it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. So there's times in all of our lives when we lose sight of the dream that God has put in our hearts. And that's what's going on in Genesis. I just want to get back to Abram and Sarah. And I want to show you Genesis 16, it reads like this, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. The Lord has kept me from," I want you to remember these lines. "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." So there's three things that you're going to face when you're a dreamer. Three things. Get something to write with. Get ready to receive this today. Because if you're a dreamer, I want you to get ready for some of the things that you're going to encounter in the process of having a dream. The first thing is that when you're a dreamer, there's going to be times when nothing visible is happening. There's going to be times when nothing visible is happening. It says that in that first line of that verse that Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Abram's been seeing and talking about sand and stars. But now we get introduced with just one line of the reality that they're facing in their life. And the reality is that nothing visible is happening. It's that season when we see nothing happening that we become most vulnerable to frustration and to discouragement in our life. This is when circumstances can talk you out of your dream. This is when you can start to think it's never going to happen. My husband is never going to serve God. I've been praying for him to know God, to come to church, and nothing visible is happening. Or you're gonna feel like, you know, it's impossible for me to have my own business. I've been praying. I've been asking God that I could have an open door, an opportunity. I could get the kind of resources together that I need to actually start that business that I feel like I'm supposed to start, the one that God put in my heart. And it's just impossible. Every door I knock on, no doors are opening up for me. There's always going to be a season if you're a dreamer. You're going to have times whenever nothing visible is happening. Maybe there's some of you who are here today who it's been in your heart to buy and develop pieces of property. You know, the fixer-upper thing that you thought, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to fix up some homes and then I can rent it out, and that'd be a great retirement, you know, for us to live on. And but yet you're facing challenges in that process, and something tells you, no, this is right for you. This is a source of income for you. This is something that fits you. Like, but then no doors are opening up. And so now the reality is that nothing visible is happening. You see, what we tend to underestimate is what is happening when nothing's happening. I know when I came to the Northwest, our first church building and property was in the town of Puyallup. And first of all, just saying Puyallup, for me, I was from the Midwest, and it's like, how do I learn how to say Puyallup? It was odd, but that's where I was, and that's where God brought us. And our first challenge was to grow the church so that we could, you know, we could dig our way out of the straitjacket of debt that was on that property. So we sold timber off the land. We did fundraisers. We did everything that we could just to be able to get to a position financially where we could have the land, keep the land, and that would be our land, you know. And then God did great things, and the church grew. And with that came the need for more space. We met with builders, we met with architects, and we started planning to build a new and bigger building. And then it was in that season that everything went into slow motion. All of the feasibility studies started coming back telling us all of the reasons why that we weren't going to be able to build on that property, and it just wasn't going to happen there. Everything got bogged down. The church was doing great. The services were filling up and jammed full, and classrooms were packed out. We were doing a passion play at that time, and it was popular, and people were coming. It was one of the major summer attractions in the Northwest. But what I'm telling you is I felt trapped because there was more in me. There was something in me. I was pregnant with something, you know. I was like, I gotta, you know, we gotta get there. And there was a point when I considered leaving. I thought, okay, I'm done. Every door I knock on won't open. And my wife detected that in me. She asked me one night as I lay in bed, and I thought she was asleep, and I'll never forget that moment. And I was staring at the ceiling, and she turned over. She could tell I was awake, and she turned over and said, "You're going to leave, aren't you?" And those were long nights. Those were difficult times. And I was saying things like, "Yeah, this town isn't big enough for me. Puyallup. Why Puyallup? Like, You know, the biggest thing they got is a fair that lasts 30 days. And I don't even like the fair. And I don't want, you know, they had the advertisements then. I don't know if they have them still now, but, you know, do the Puyallup. And I don't want to do the Puyallup. I have a big vision, and I believe God wants to build a church, a regional church in the great Northwest. And anyway, you're getting the right idea. If you love Puyallup, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you. I'm just saying to you, like, for me, it was like this, oh God, you're doing great things, but there was this sense in me that nothing is happening. Why am I feeling like this is supposed to happen? And nothing's happening. And it was in that season of frustration that I received a call. And that call was inviting me to come to Tacoma and to a property that was a lot bigger than our property. And it's the campus we are in right now here in Tacoma. And that campus was opened up to us. And it wasn't just that the campus was bigger, but it was positioned in a place where we could have a regional church. And that's what I felt like God was saying to me. And I look back and I'm thinking, you know, Puyallup is like a bedroom community. We're way back in there. God knew what he was doing. And what I'm telling you is that even when it seems like nothing's happening, something's happening. Even when you don't see something happening, something. The second thing that's in that verse about Sarah and Abram is that I want to shine a light on is that there's going to be times when you'll think that God has failed you. If you're a dreamer, there's going to be times where you're going to feel like God has failed you. And Sarah said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. The Lord has kept me from having children." See, when things don't happen like we want or when we want, it's so tempting to blame God. If only God would make this happen. If only God would not let this happen. Then I could have what I want to have in my life. I know for us, we have staff members, we have friends who have had miscarriages. And we've had that in the life of our church and people that we love. And to watch a couple go through that, it's always a struggle to figure out or make sense of it. Like this is a good couple. They love God. And why would this happen? Why would this baby not live full term and be born? And then the grief that goes along with that, and the burden, and it's hard to understand. And it's you can quickly go to where Sarah went and just say, "The Lord, the Lord is not doing what he's supposed." You can feel like the Lord is failing you. We have people in our church and good friends of ours who have lost businesses, who have lost their homes, and most of us here today, we know someone whose hopes and dreams were sidelined by an unexpected doctor's report or a tragedy in their family. And my point is that when things don't go like we hope for, it can undermine the confidence that we need to continue forward towards the vision and dreams that God put in our hearts. And it can literally put us in a place where we're indifferent towards God. And that's where Sarah was. She's like, "The Lord has not given me children." It's like it goes up to a whole nother level because we know God's all powerful. We know God can do anything. And then he's on our side at first, and we're on his side. And then there's this season, I'm just telling you, when you have a dream, you got to watch out for this stuff. Because there's this season where rather than leaning into the grace of God and the idea that God knows what he's doing, you're going to be tempted to feel like God is failing you. And then thirdly, when you're a dreamer, there's going to be times listen carefully to me on this one. There's going to be times when you're going to want to implement your own plan to get what you want. Sarah presents an idea to Abram. I'm going to assume that Abram and Sarah were both discouraged. I don't want to blame all this. I don't think it's fair to put it all on Sarah. I'm going to assume that they've both been walking down this road. Now they're discouraged. They're losing sight of the dream God put within them of sand and stars. But Sarah presented the plan, and Abram has to take responsibility because he acted on it. Are you with me? And let me just say, husbands and wives, don't underestimate the influence that you have on one another. Especially wives. I think it would be really easy for wives, because your husband, you think, you know, he does what he wants to do. He doesn't really listen to me. And you can kind of underestimate. Not kind of, you can. If you're not careful, because you have no idea. You have no idea. There are several spots in the Bible I could take you to, but you have no idea sometimes. And that's what the enemy wants from you. He wants you to underestimate the influence that your words will have on your husband, for bad or for good. Now, he may not show it immediately, but I want you to know today, ladies, come on, I'm trying to help you, that you can bring him down or build him up. You can make him feel small or like a hero. If you talk negative to him, he will be less anxious to come home. I promise you. And I'm not excusing him from the process. I don't think Abram should be excused. I don't think any man should be excused. I'm just saying, stay strong for each other. Build each other up. When life isn't going like you hope or you plan, that's the most important time for you to encourage one another. Hang together. Speak words of hope. Come on, speak words of faith. This is such a great example that we have here with Sarah and Abram and this whole story and the way it unfolds, because it's pretty amazing the long-term implications of the decision made on a day where they had lost complete hope in the dream. The dream they had to give up on that dream, the dream of sand and stars, and that day they give up on it, is the reason why we have so much violence and conflict in the Middle East today. Are you connecting that? Hagar gave birth to Abram's son, whose name was Ishmael. Now, some of you may not know this, but in her frustration, she says to Abram, "How about you sleep with Hagar? And then I'll be able to have a family." That she's taking plans into her own hands. So Abram acts on it. Hagar gives birth to Abram's son named Ishmael. And then 13 years later, Sarah gave birth to Abram's son Isaac. And then all hell breaks loose between the two women. They despised each other. Ishmael was the start of the Arab nations, and Isaac, the Jewish nation. The conflict between them, that was where it all goes back to. And it's still going on today. Both of them call Abram their father, and to this day there is deep enmity. There is deep hatred. There is conflict between them. This is what can happen when people grow impatient with God's timing in their life. This is what can happen when we start to compromise and lower our standards and take shortcuts. And this is what can happen, please hear me today, when we settle for option B, C, or D, because A is not happening quick enough. And you might say, well, boy, that's historical, and that's like way time generational. Okay, I get it. I understand you making that, and you're comparing yourself now to the conflict that has occurred in the Middle East. I'm just telling you, don't underestimate what it'll do to your family tree. Don't underestimate what a move like that can do for your future. Like you can, if you could be here this weekend and you could be in that place right now, and your attitude right now is, I want a husband and I want him now. I'm tired of being alone. God didn't plan for me to be alone, and now I found a guy and I've got him in. I lassoed him, I brought him in, I reeled him in now. And yeah, he's not everything that I really wanted, and probably not everything, but you know, God really planned, but at least I'm not gonna be alone. Be careful. I'm just saying to you, be careful. If you have sand and stars, don't begin to settle for a plan that you devise in your own ideas and your own concepts. There can be people here today, and financially, we're helping as many people as are willing to get help right now, and I'm so excited about FPU and everything going on, but it could be as simple as saying, you know, I want this, I want that, I want a new car, I deserve a new car. Oh, no, it's not in my budget, but maybe I can find, you know, a young person. My mom will co-sign for me. I'll figure out how to pay for it later. And all of that kind of thing, you have to be careful. There's a God way, and then there's our way. And our way doesn't translate into the blessing of God in our life. Like, God wants sand and stars for you, but sometimes it's not going to happen in your timing. If God puts a dream in you, He doesn't need you to compromise your character. He doesn't need you to impose yourself on others or bury yourself in debt, because you're trying to make it happen. Remember this, God's will is God's bill. You're like, well, I got to figure out this way. I got to be really careful. You can get yourself into a position that is not God's plan for your life. And yes, you got sand. I wanted to get this message out in the middle of talking about sand and stars, because the last thing I want in this series on sand and stars is for people to get all wrapped up in just trying to make stuff happen, because you're all excited. Pastor says sand and stars. Pastor says I got a dream. I got to have a dream. I do not want anyone to take this message and start compromising what God would have for you by trying to make up your own plan and do it and make it happen in your own time. Come on, lean into faith. Maintain your confidence. When there is a delay, that doesn't mean you are denied. Encourage yourself. Keep standing in faith. Keep those sand and stars in front of you. Just know God can open up doors for you. He can bring the right people into your life. I said He can bring the right people into your life. One of my favorite authors is Mark Batterson. And Mark says this, I'm going to quote from him. He says, the day that you stop dreaming is the day you start dying. And the day you start dreaming is the day you really start living. I'm dreaming to live. I'm dreaming to live. You want to say it with me? Just say it. I'm dreaming to live. Come on, you got to remind yourself. Some of you today, no matter how old you are, how young you are, I'm dreaming to live. I'm dreaming. And the enemy will come and he'll say, why are you imagining things like that? Like, you're just going to make your life miserable because that'll never happen. You got to say, no, I am dreaming to live. I'm dreaming to live, because the day that I stop dreaming is the day that I start dying. No matter what kind of setbacks that you're facing or you've had even up until now in your life, keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. And if you're here and you've lost sight of some dreams that God put in your heart, I'm praying you can capture the dream again and you can get it back into your heart. You can get it in front of you. You can start seeing things that you're not seeing. I hope that you can stir up, for some of you, you can stir up old dreams, or you can replace old dreams with new dreams. You know, I really felt that this week. I felt like I needed to say to some people, like, the dream you had may not have been wrong, but maybe along the way, it got sidetracked in such a way, and it just feels like wheels are off, and you're trying to figure out why it happened. Can I just say, stop it. Stop trying to figure out things you'll never understand, and just get a new dream going. Like right where you are today with the wheels off from the last dream, what are you going to dream about now? What are you going to get in your heart now? What are you going to imagine God doing now? What are you going to think about in your future now? What are you going to believe about your family now? What are you going to believe about your marriage now? What are you going to believe God's going to do in the life of our church now? So sometimes it's a matter of updating and just, you know, I'm praying that pictures will fill our minds. I'm praying that we'll get in the flow again. If you haven't been seeing those things, that you'll get in the flow again of seeing what you don't see. Seeing what you don't. I'm going to ask everybody, if you would today, just right where you are, nobody leaving. I mean, we've got some great things still to do here, but I feel like God's presence would have us to do this right now. You know, the Word of God, no matter who delivers it, is never supposed to return void. So here's what I believe about this Word that I've spoken today, is that it's on a mission. And that there are some of you that are identifying with this teaching. And I'm going to ask everyone who would, in whatever service you're in, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now, and I'm going to pray with you and pray for you. And if you receive this message today, I'm just going to ask you to put your hands up toward heaven. You don't have to raise them high, but just, you know, get your hands up in a sign of surrender. Father, I thank you for this day. And I thank you, Lord, that your word never returns void. It always accomplishes what it sent forth to do in our lives. And so I declare today a new encouragement in our hearts. I boldly declare, God, that there are people who have not been seeing anything except the natural, except the circumstances, except the conditions. And there's a lot of negativity going on in some people's mind. But I'm praying today and this weekend is the beginning, Lord, of seeing things that they don't see. A beginning to imagine. A beginning, Lord, to have a God-assigned dream again in our life. And I'm praying, God, for people who have been sidetracked in one way or another, that this word will bring us back on course with your plan for our lives. And I thank you for it, God. I boldly declare today that we are dreaming to live. We are dreaming to live. It's not a question as to whether we will or not. We're going to grab hold of some vision. We're going to grab hold of some desire. We're going to grab hold of some word picture. We are dreaming to live. None of us want to die prematurely. We don't want to be dead men walking. We don't want to be dead women walking. We are dreaming to live. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And now I want to pray with anyone who is here this weekend, or you are at our online campus and you would say, I want a new beginning in my life and my relationship with God. I want to pray with you right now. I'm going to invite you to join with all of us, and we're going to pray a simple prayer of new beginnings. This is the opportunity you have to get your life started. No matter what it's been, you have an opportunity right now to get your life started in a brand new direction and receive Jesus as the leader and the Lord of your life. So if you want to pray with us, and I hope you do, just join me as we pray. Everybody say with me out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, welcome to my world. I invite you today. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. And make me a new person. I receive you now as the leader, as the Lord of my life, and I'll never be the same again. I'm a child of God. I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, I want to welcome you to a brand new beginning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on, church. Let's celebrate new beginnings in the house of God.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.